verses 13 through 20. When you have it, I'm going to ask that you would stand with me that we may read the Word of God together. St. Matthew chapter number 16, verses 13 through 20. If you do not have a Bible and you would like to follow along in the Word of God, we will get a Bible to you. However, we ask that at the conclusion of the service that you would be kind enough to return that back to our Bible rack that we have at the back. Amen. That rhymed. That was almost like a rap. I was sharing with First Lady that I thought my next venue was a hip-hop holy video. Of course, she rebuked me and said that that's not what my anointing is, so I'm just kidding. Would you have to please stand as we read the Word of God together? St. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. I'll read orally, you read silently. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Look at this, look at this. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want to read that again. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to minister to you this morning from a subject, "Are you guilty as charged?" Are you guilty as charged? As we prepare to hear the Word of God this morning, I want you to know that I thought with great anticipation as to what my assignment would be to say to the body of Christ on the last Sunday prior to us crossing over. And as he began to speak to my spirit concerning what he wanted me to say, I want you to prepare yourself, because this message is a little bit unique in its understanding, but I believe you'll enjoy it in its entirety. So what I want you to do right now, everybody in the room, I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to pretend that you're in court. Some of you don't have to pretend because you was just in court last week. I'm just kidding. But pretend that you're in court. You're on the witness stand. The devil is cross-examining you. Jesus Christ is your attorney, and God is the judge. You are on trial today to determine if the devil has enough evidence to convict you of the charge of telling no man that Jesus is the Christ. Y'all gonna work with me for a little while? If the devil was to get a conviction, would he find you guilty based upon the following evidence? Number one is found in verse 17. The Bible says that Jesus asked his disciples a question. He called all of his men together and he said, "Boys, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of these 12 men that walked with him, there was only one that was Simon Peter that understood and had a revelation of who Jesus really was. And that's the first order of conviction, is have you received a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is? Once you receive a revelation of who Jesus is, you understand that your relationship with him is more than just coming to church. When you receive a revelation of who Jesus really is, you understand it is more than just having your name on the church roll, a part of a particular local church. When you receive a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is, you recognize that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, when you were a wretched undone, and when you were in sin, and when you didn't even care whether or not there was a God, there was a Christ that died on your behalf. And the church often misses this because they associate coming to church and sitting in the pew with knowing Jesus. But I hate to tell you this morning that just because you come to church, just because your name is on the roll, does not mean that you have a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. Am I doing all right? Is he just someone that you associate with on Sunday morning? But Monday through Saturday, you act as though you do not know him. Is he someone whom you portray that you know, and you portray that you're living for him in the presence of others that do know him, but your lifestyle, when they are not around, is totally different? Who is Jesus to you? You're on the witness stand and the devil is trying to get a conviction. Would Jesus be able to stand up and say, I object? Y'all been to court before. And when you have an attorney, and when the defense attorney says something that's derogatory to your character, he objects, and the judge determines whether or not it's sustained based upon the evidence submitted. Am I doing all right? I don't go to court, but I do have to go occasionally on behalf of the saints. Praise the Lord. But don't let the suit and the shirt and the cross fool you. I've been in the courtroom before, and I was on the other side of the bench, determining whether or not they were going to get a conviction. Yes, sir. Y'all don't know this. I guess I'll tell the story. But when me and First Lady first met, I called myself a gang member. It's part of the Insane Crip Gang. They call it insane because that's what they really are. I don't even know why I'm telling this story, y'all. This is going to be on the 4 o'clock news. I tell it because I'm free.
Amen.
Come on, that's great. See, come on then.
But, you know, this guy came into our territory. Marla knows this because we all went to high school together. And so we decided we were going to jump the guy and beat him down. Just crazy. You know, have y'all, I know none of y'all experienced this, but have you ever done anything in your life when you sit down and think about it? Just crazy. Just don't, you can't put it down on paper. Just don't make no sense. So we beat the boy down. Lord have mercy. Had to go to court. And they were trying to convict us. Thank God my parents had a little bit of cash flow. And they were able to get a real attorney, not a public defender. Y'all know that's the secret of the conviction. It's based upon whether you have a legitimate attorney or a public defender. Because the public defender really does not have your best interest in it. I believe I'm helping somebody in here today. So if you're in trouble, there's just a word from the Lord. Get a real attorney, not a public defender. But I was sitting just like we're sitting today. And Jesus will have the opportunity as to whether or not to object to the charges that the devil is presenting. Would the devil have sufficient evidence to present before God that you portray to know him, but you really don't? Would his allegations be entered into as evidence? Or would Jesus move for an objection and saying to the Father, yes, Lafayette, yes, Anna, yes. Sister Carol lives the life that they portray on Monday that they do on Sunday.
Come on, Pastor. That's good.
Or would he have to sit there and allow the evidence to be entered into the judge? That's number one. If you have received a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. Number two, have you allowed the Lord to build his church through you? Look at what Jesus told Peter. And I say, in verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Uh-huh. I want you to understand that the building of the Lord's church is not so much physical as it is individual.
Come on, Pastor, that's good.
You see, men build buildings, but God builds the people that make up the building.
All right, come on, that's good.
That's why churches are not restricted to four walls and a steeple and stained glass.
That's it.
Because the church inevitably is in you.
That's right.
And so we are in a generation, beloved, where you see churches started in people's living room.
All right. That's right.
We started this church in a school. That's an unorthodox place to start a church. There are people that didn't agree with us because we did not have the physical building like church structures normally have, but they did not understand that the church is in us. It's not based upon whether we got brick and mortar and an air condition and a pew and a stained glass window. And so when you are allowing the Lord to build his church through you, God, you have to allow God to do it. Because what he meant when he was saying this to Peter is that Peter had to be willing to allow God to extract out of him what he had put in him to be a blessing to his people. This is known as his gifts or his giftings. Think for a moment, those of you that understand the New Testament and the ministry of the Apostle Peter, if Peter did not allow the Lord to build his church in him, half of this Bible would not even be here, because Peter was not willing to allow God to do inside of him what needed to be done to build the local church. Well, it's the same thing in all of us. God has given each one of you something to do that brings him glory.
Amen.
Am I doing all right? It's not based upon you coming and you putting your name on a pew and you just sitting there for 5 and 6 years and you're not activated in any form of ministry.
Come on.
You are not allowing the Lord to build his church inside of you. Because when you're allowing that, you allow the development process to take place, that God to give the things that are needed for you to blossom into what he's called you to do. And so we have people that join churches but never get activated.
Come on.
Y'all ought to bless God that you have a pastor that's not selfish, that is not intimidated by giftings. I don't care if Bishop Jakes joined this church. It's always one pastor. I don't care if any one of these ministers can preach better than that does not concern me. What concerns me is if you are allowing God to build the church inside of you. God had put something in Peter that would be a blessing to his people. And where the devil can get a conviction on some of us, if we have not allowed God to develop what he has put in us to be a blessing to him. I want you to ask yourself this question or write this down. What has God given you to be a blessing to his church? God has given you something. Everybody sitting in this room, everybody that hear this by audio, everybody that will hear this via the World Wide Web, God has given you something that he's put in you to be a blessing to his church. My next question is, are you currently using it, or is it sitting dormant on the inside of you? One of the key questions that I ask people all the time is, what do you think God has called you to do? Because if you are not familiar with what your purpose is, then you can never allow God to build the church on the inside of you. And if for whatever reason you're not actively engaged, then the devil can get a conviction without Jesus making an objection. Let me share something with some of you. I can't mention everybody, but I'm going to just mention a few people. Sister Gainey feels the call to evangelism. That's something God gave you. And you basically had a choice as to whether or not you were going to allow the Lord to build that in you so that the church could be blessed. Sister Cheryl feels the call to intercessory prayer. That's what God gave her to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And so she had a choice. Either she was going to sit on the pew and just wait around and just sing songs and just come week after week, or she could get actively engaged in what God put in her to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Sister Tony, she has the gift of hospitality. She didn't know that, but it was not until she got into the body of Christ. And I said, sister, what you're doing is a blessing to people. And she didn't even recognize it. The gift that God gave her was not for to make babies or us richer.
Amen.
Oh, y'all missing it. See, a lot of times we take the things that God has given us and put them back in the world where they have no value.
Come on, man. Come on.
People do not appreciate the spirit of hospitality on your local secular job.
That's right.
They take everything that you do out of the kindness of your heart for granted. I know I'm preaching real good right about now. You could get to work early. You could never be late. You could stay as long as the supervisor wants you to say, do your job and then some, and them jokers don't even say, hey, I appreciate what you did. Am I doing all right? Why is that, Pastor? That's because those gifts were not intended for the world. They were intended for the church. And so would Jesus at this point get a conviction? I look at Minister L.A. He's got a gift to minister to young people, desires young people, loves young people, has the gift of administration. I look at his wife, likes greeting, likes children's ministry. That's the gift that God gave her. Look at Brother Craig and Calvin and Marlon, wherever they are, like computers and sound and grafting. God did not give them those things for them to sit dormant. But you have people in churches that come week after week and refuse to allow God to build the church inside of them. And the devil is getting a conviction while you're sitting on the witness stand. They had a choice to get activated in the gift, or they make excuses as to why they cannot be used by God. Let me tell you something. Never for one time make an excuse as to why God can't use you.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care if you don't have money. I don't care if you don't have a car.
Right.
Let me tell you something. There's no prerequisite or checklist that you have to have in order for God to use you. If God will use a donkey, then by God, he'll use a human being with knowledge and common sense.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Am I doing all right?
You're doing all right.
Number three, and I'm going to come to a close. I don't want to hold you that long today because I know most of y'all have chicken and ham waiting for you. And number three is, are you a witness? If the devil can't get you on the first two, he'll probably get you on the third.
Amen.
Look at verse number 20. He charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. For the sake of the history of this text, we understand why Jesus gave that command and why they obeyed it. Because according to history, Jesus was not yet to be recognized as the Son of the living God. And so there could not be people in the local community or people that were even close to Jesus declaring that he was the Son of God. But tell your neighbor, that time has come and gone now. And if there ever was a time to disobey God, I told y'all this was going to be unique and I was going to mess with you a little bit. If there ever was a time to disobey God, Sister Carol, that preacher told me to disobey the Lord. If there ever was a time to disobey him, it's right here in the scripture. Because Jesus wants you to tell people about the change that he's made in your life. If we were not guilty of this, this church would be jam-packed.
Come on.
Because people follow changed lives.
Amen.
Why do we struggle with telling others about Jesus? Let me give you three common reasons. Number one is acceptance. Most people refuse to talk about Jesus for fear of not being accepted by those whom we deem important.
Come on.
Pastor, what's the solution? Baby, they ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in.
Amen.
Jesus said right here in the Word, if you be ashamed of me before men, then I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So you should not be worried about whether or not people are going to accept you because, oh, you're like that now. You know how they do on the job. You know, as long as you cussing and lying and doing all that stuff, it's just like back on the block. Those of you that go home, you know, as long as you were staying out late, didn't have a purpose, won't go into college, just hanging out with your friends, you was all right. But no sooner you decide, man, this life ain't for me. I got to get me a job. I got to go to school. I got to make a career. Now you're all stuck up and, you know, they just think too much of themselves. No, it's not that. I just made a decision to change my life. Number two is a lack of Christian character. A lot of times, some of us struggle with sharing our faith because we're not living as we should outside of the church. People sitting in church cussing, swearing. I ain't getting a whole lot of amen. I knew I wouldn't. I prepared myself for this portion of it. The Lord said, son, the amens will go down at this part here. So I was already. Promiscuous, sexually impure, drinking, gambling, and often act as if we don't know him. And so when the opportunity comes for us to share our faith, we would look like a hypocrite talking about somebody that we don't even know. I can remember in my military days that they had this big thing with cussing at soldiers. And I used to tell them, look, Sergeant, these people would outrank me by years. Don't cuss at me. Don't use that type of language at me. Why? Because I don't use it to you. So that validated my cause for asking that. But if I would have been cussing and slipping and lying and fornicating, they would have said, man, you just as crooked as two left shoes. And it's the same way with a lot of us, not all of us, say some of us, not all of us, in our daily jobs and in our lives. Because when we get the opportunity to share our faith, we can't because we look like a hypocrite. How are you going to tell me about lying and fornicating when I'm struggling with that on my own? How are you going to tell me about this Jesus that you don't even act like you know him when we're on the job? I see you 5 days a week. How are you going to tell me about giving and tithing and being a blessing, and when offering time come around, you put $2-3 in the plate? And so we often have a lack of Christian character. And the devil can get a conviction on that every time. Why? Because a lot of us don't live what we preach. I went to work one day. We were working on a Sunday. This was several years ago, and I was a young minister then. And they said, Rev, you didn't have to preach today. I said, yeah, I'm preaching right now. What do you mean by that? I'm preaching by the way I live. That's the best message you can preach, by the way you live. Because the gospel is, oh God, I'm preaching real good. It's ineffective if you're not living out what you preach. So when you see me in the food line, I'm the same pastor, same guy. You come on my job, I'm the same guy. You see me at the car wash, same guy. Because I live what I preach. And the final one is fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of not knowing what to say or how to say it. Beloved, none of that matters. What matters is, would the devil be able to get a conviction on behalf of you being a witness? If he would have said before he took his seat, well, since you've known the Lord, how many people did you tell about Jesus this week? Jesus would go for an injection, but God would say sustained. They came in contact with 300 people this week. How many of those people did you tell that God has made a change in my life? I don't know the scripture. It doesn't matter. I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. How many souls have come into the kingdom on your behalf because of your witness? Let me tell you something. If you've been saved any amount of time, you ought to be able to count people on your hands that have gotten saved because of you. I do not boast, but I boast in God. I can count at least 10 to 15 people since I've gotten saved that have turned their lives around and are living for God today. God is asking you the same question. How many people are in the kingdom because of what you spoke to them? And let me tell you something. It's not always a scripture. It's not always a song. It's not always a pretty little Christian fade. Too blessed to be stressed. Sometimes it's just saying, baby, I've been where you've been.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. God got a hold of my life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what scripture to send you to, but I can say that I am trying every day to live as I should. It ain't about how much of this you know and how much you pray and how long you can speak in tongues. As a pastor, I get tired of people that judge their spiritual maturity based upon how long they read their word, how long they pray, and how long they speak in tongues. Because all that don't matter. How many people are in the kingdom because of you? That's what matters. Am I doing all right? I ask you today, would Jesus be able to make an objection? Or would you in fact be guilty as charged? Church, as I come to a close, the Lord wants to know, are you guilty as charged? As the devil takes his seat and says to the judge that he has no further questions for the witness, your attorney, Jesus the Christ, requests permission to approach the bench, shows the Father his nail-scarred hands, and says, I died for him. I died for her. And God says, case dismissed. My question to you today is that if you know that you are guilty of not having the full revelation of who Jesus is, maybe you just are coming to church, but you have not had an encounter with God. Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm preaching to you young people. I'm preaching to you old people. Does not matter how old you are. When you come into understanding that there is a God that died for your sin, then you're held accountable as to whether or not you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've gotten saved, but you're still sitting on the pew and you have not gotten involved in a local church or the local church where you are. All you're is your name's on the roll. You're not doing nothing. You're not involved in any area of ministry. You're just coming week after week, month after month, and just enjoying the word. Pastor, I'm just here to enjoy the word. Enjoy the word, baby, and get busy. Because I got too much work to do for you just to be enjoying the word.
Amen.
There's lives out there that need to be touched. There's people that need to be standing at the door, shaking hands and hugging folks that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ when they come in the church. There's children that need to be taught on a weekly basis the word of God. And this church is not one of those theologically deep churches that you got to have a master's degree to teach children's church.
That's right. Amen.
Am I doing all right up in here, up in here? Simple scriptures, simple Bible verses. Jesus loves you. He died for your sin. Learn to live right. Learn to live holy. That's the basics of it. I got places in this church where I need people beating these drums and playing these keyboards and singing unto the Lord. I may not be able to sing as the lead, but at least your voice can blend. Get a microphone, pick it up, and stand on the stage.
Amen.
Am I doing all right up in here, up in here, up in here?
Amen.
There is something for you to do for God.
Amen.
God didn't give you a gift for it just to sit in the pew and to go dormant.
Amen.
You know what the saddest thing, and I'm going to close with this. The saddest thing about a funeral is people that die with untapped potential. Where they take their God-given gifts to the grave. When I die, if Jesus doesn't come back, I want to die empty.
Amen.
Come on.
Because I've lived my life as a vessel of God.
Amen.
And I have given back to Him everything that He gave me.
Amen.
That ought to be your prayer as well.
Amen.
Lord, that I die empty and that I give you back everything that you gave to me.
Yes.
You just may be a doorknob polisher. You just may sweep the floor. It don't matter. You're doing what God created you to do. You may not be on staff. You may not draw a check. Your name may never get put in the church newsletter. So what? You're doing what God called you to do.
Yes.
If you'd be so kind to stand to your feet this morning.